Jayu Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Gopi Jalabhava Girvare Hari. Gopi Jana Bahlava Girvare Hari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tiravana Jahani. Yamuna Tiravana Jahani. Jaya Radha Madhava Kundabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kundabi Hari. Gopi Jana Balava Girivara Dhari. Gopi Jana Balava Girivara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tiravana Jahani. Yamuna Tiravana Jahani. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Hare Krishna Rama Hare Hare. Jaya Rata Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Rata Madhava. Jaya Rata Madhava. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Pravirajakacharya Asto Tarasata Shri Shrimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Pravirajakacharya Asto Tarasata Shri Shrimad His Divine Grace Shri Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasata Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Dindi Ki Jai. ISKCON BBT Founder Acharya Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Shri Kishore Kishore Ki Jai. Shri Jagannathi Baladev Srimati Subhadra Ki Jai, Shri Sigonitai Ki Jai, Samaveta Bhaktivinanda Ki Jai, Gora Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, Shri Shri Guru and Garanga, Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Who is here for Mangal Arati? I'd like to apologize for the devotees that were here for Mangal Arati. I have not been able to get your association in Denver. When I was present there, we had an 11 o'clock rule, which is if you're out doing home programs or preaching after 11 o'clock, you could come to the second half of the program. So since I've been here in Chicago, I was thinking this place, they need a 12 o'clock rule. Because it's like, we'll pick you up at 7:30 to drive to the home program, and then, so they're a little late, too late for me. So my apologies, I have not been able to have your association in the early hours, being focused on the late hours. So, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 5, the meeting of Nanda Maharaj and Vasudev, text 24, and we're going to read 24. And no, actually it's 23. Which one's there? We're going to be 23, 24, and 25. 24 and 25 are very short purports. So, Turishtya Prataha Pravayasaha Idantim, excuse me, Idanim Aprajasya Te praja ashaya nivritasya praja yat samapadyata trishya prataha pravasyasa idam nim aprajasyate Prajashaya nivritasya Prajayat samapadyata Trishya brataha pravayasa Idanim aprajasyate Prajashaya nivritasya Prajayat samapadyata Trishya brataha pravayasa Idanim aprajasyate Prajashaya nivritasya Prajayat samapadyata
Ladies?
Word meanings. Dristya, it is by great fortune. Brataha, O my dear brother. Pravayasaha, of you whose age is now quite advanced. Idanim, at the present moment. Aprajasha, of one who did not have a son before. Te, of you, Praja Ashaya Nivritasha, of one who was almost hopeless of gaining a son at this age. Praja, a son, Yat, whatever, Samapadyata, has gotten by chance. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. My dear brother Nanda Maharaj, at an advanced age you had no son at all and were hopeless of having one. Therefore, that you now have a son is a sign of great fortune. Please repeat. My dear brother Nanda Maharaj, at an advanced age you had no son at all and were hopeless of having one. Therefore, that you now have a son is a sign of great fortune. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. At an advanced age, one generally cannot beget a male child. If by chance one does beget a child at this age, the child is generally female. Thus, Vasudeva indirectly asked Nanda Maharaj whether he had actually begotten a male child or a female child. Vasudeva knew that Yashoda had given birth to a female child. Note, Vasudeva knew that Yashoda had given birth to a female child, whom he had stolen and replaced with a male child. This is a great mystery, and Vasudeva wanted to determine whether this mystery was already known to Nanda Maharaj. On inquiring, however, he was, parentheses now, confident that the mystery of Krishna's birth and his being placed in the care of Yashoda was still hidden. There was no danger, since Kamsa at least could not learn what had already happened. In other words, because Nanda Maharaj didn't know, so Vasudeva's thinking, okay, they can't get the truth out of him. He won't know. He's not going to say anything to anybody that might tip off Kamsa. Next verse. Trisha samsara chakreshmin vartamanaha punarbhavaha upalabdho bhavan adya durlabham priyadarshanam. It is also by good fortune that I'm seeing you. So he's saying it's by good fortune you have a son. It's also by good fortune that I'm seeing you. Having obtained this opportunity, I feel as if I have taken birth again. It was a new life. Even though one is present in this world, to meet with intimate friends and dear relatives in this material world is extremely difficult. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Vasudeva had been imprisoned by Kamsa. Long time, right? Although present in Mathura, he was unable to see Nanda Maharaj for many years. Therefore, when they met again, Vasudev considered this meeting to be another birth. And then the last one we'll read. Naikatara priyasam vasaha suridam chitrakarmanam okena vyuhyamananam pravanam sotasoyata. Many planks and sticks, unable to stay together, are carried away by the force of a river's waves. Similarly, although we are intimately related with friends and family members, we are unable to stay together because of our varied past deeds and the waves of time. This is very profound, very poetic too, beautiful. Many planks and sticks, unable to stay together, are carried away by the force of a river's waves. Similarly, although we are intimately related with friends and family members, we are unable to stay together because of our varied past deeds and the waves of time. Purport. Vasudeva was lamenting because he and Nanda Maharaj could not live together. Yet, how could they live together? Vasudeva warns that all of us, even if intimately related, are carried away by the waves of time according to the results of past karma. Om Agyanatam Yandasha Janan Anjana Shalakaya Chakshu Uminitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Titanamanobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadama Yam Vidati Swapatantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhar Shri Vasudi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the Bhagavatam is such a beautiful literature. It gives us great insights on many, many things. Philosophy, Krishna Lila, life itself in this world. So many insights are there. So here, Vasudev, we see he's inquiring regarding Krishna, and he's trying to find out from Nanda Maharaj, do you really know what happened? Like Vasudev knows, you know, he changed the babies in the middle of the night, and he's concerned because Kamsa's on his baby-killing mission by this time, specifically trying to find the son of Vasudev who's been predicted to kill him. So Kamsa's on his rampage. Like these days, there's leaders around the world that are on a rampage, killing so many people, political adversaries, and you know, sometimes there's a coup attempt and then they use that to wipe out everybody else. Or sometimes they pretend there's a coup attempt and they use that to wipe out everybody else. Like Hitler, he created a whole drama, a fake drama, that the Polish were invading Germany. Killed some people, put them in Polish, if I remember right, put them in Polish uniforms, brought them across the German border, took a few pictures perhaps. These days they would have put it on Facebook, tweeted about it a couple times, and invaded Poland. What can I do? That was his whole thing. What can I do? He kept saying that. What can I do? We just want what we deserve, and then he'd run over another country. What can I do? They attacked us, and then he'd run over another country. So Kamsa, similarly, killing so many children now. What can I do? It's been predicted they're going to kill me. You'd do the same thing if you're in my position. And even though he goes back and forth when he released, if you go back a few verses, when he released Vasudeva after Durga shows and tells him, you fool, this child's born elsewhere, you know, you're finished, and don't keep committing so many offenses. So then he laments and he lets him go. Oh, my dear sister and brother, I'm so sorry, please forgive me. And it's amazing, after years in prison and killing so many of their children, they actually forgive him. It's only in a few verses, but we can understand that with some drama there as well, you know, to forgive him. And then he goes home and then talks to his nasty ministers, and they again tell him, no, this is just a temporary upset. You tried to kill a few kids. It didn't work. That's okay. Just kill them all. And he goes, oh, yeah, thank you. I needed that. Thank you for clarifying those things for me. Now I know what I have to do. So therefore, this is right in the middle of this scene. So Nanda Maharaj and Vasudeva, upon meeting, Vasudeva is like inquiring. So again, many, many things are happening here one time. But one of them is he's inquiring. And he's saying, you know, usually someone of your age, you don't have a male child. He's like giving him impetus. So Nanda Maharaj might say, well, you know, you and I both know you changed the babies in the middle of them. It's like he gave him a chance to say that. But he didn't say. He didn't respond. So now Vasudeva's thinking, okay, the secret is safe. The secret's safe. Because again, Kamsa's now hunting for the children, for the babies. And as we know, I think the very next, either very next or coming up soon, that's the end of this volume, but coming up very soon is Putana, right? She's the first demon, right, who comes and tries to kill Krishna. She walks in and she bewilders everybody with her beauty and tries to poison baby Krishna. So then the whole, you know, slew of demons comes. And we've heard earlier, there's one verse that's mentioned when Kamsa's ministers are speaking to him and saying, you know, kill the Brahmins, kill the babies, do everything else. It specifically mentions they had these mystic powers. They could change their physical form. So, which is interesting because I'm not a big movie goer, but I do fly in a lot of airplanes. And, you know, it's like there's what is like Avengers on the left and Avengers on the right. And, you know, and it's all these things. And these days it's all about changing form, right? The heroes all change their forms. So people are attracted. They don't think it's possible, but they're all attracted to this concept of this kind of potency that you could change your form. And some of the demons do it, the evil people do it, and some of the heroes do it. So it's just interesting that in our imagination, people are dreaming up those kind of stories and attracted to those kind of stories and making hundreds of millions of dollars entertaining people those stories. And we would all go, well, yeah, actually, because it's a fact. It can happen. It's happened in the past. If people, there are ways to have those powers. And we're like really little people these days. We don't have those powers, but in the past they did. If you want to read about it, here's a great book. And while you read about it, you get liberated from the material world at the same time. Check it out. New Line, you can tell people. These books talk about the real Transformers. Wow. So there's this Leela information that's being shared with us, as well as insights on life and philosophy. So just a couple comments on the Lord's Leela. It's so interesting to see. It's so dramatic. I mean, Krishna likes drama. He's dramatic. He just likes drama. You know, he appeared in front of the gopis, and then what did he do? He disappeared, right? And he's on the battlefield with Arjuna, and at the very last second, years and years and years of building up the tension between the Kauravas and, you know, the house of Lak, and Bhima's poisoned, and they're driven to the forest, and they lose the dice game, and they come back, and Krishna himself tries to go and work it all out, and he shows one manifestation of his universal form, and Duryodhana tries to capture him. And then finally it's the battle, and it's like, okay, now it's got to happen. At the last second, Arjuna goes, no. It's like, what? No. You know, he's fought them so many times, but again, it's like, no, I don't want to fight. So this whole big drama. And everybody's like, well, why? How is it possible? And then he gives his arguments. And then Krishna's like, boom, now we're going to give you transcendental knowledge. So it's very dramatic. So the same thing here. You know, Vasudeva carrying the baby across the river and the water parts and the rain's coming down. And then just to make, like, to increase Vasudeva's intensity, he drops the baby. Oh, my God, drops the baby in a river, in the flood, in the middle of this horrible hurricane-like storm. He drops it. It's like, ah! You know, so the drama comes. So the Lord likes these different amazing kind of leelas. Why? He's the source of all rasas. I mean, why do people like to go, you know, see the Transformers and the Avengers and love stories and all these different kind of things? And, you know, they spend hundreds of millions of dollars, and, you know, it's not my genre, but, you know, sometimes I, You know, I keep up on the news. I have to with my communication service, and once in a while I come across an article about the famous new artist who's been writing books for 20 years, and I never heard her name, who's written like 42 books about, you know, love stories, you know. He broke my, you know, like, what are the romance novels, right? Really popular among certain people. Because they like the drama. But Krishna's like the original source of it. I mean, none of those books does the romantic hero like disappear by his mis- maybe there's a few genres like that, but Krishna's the source of all those, because he's a person. He's the source of all the different kind of rasas, and he likes fun too. All the different rasas. Like, I personally, I don't know the Sanskrit word, because I don't like that the horror rasa. You know, I have a nephew that's a screenwriter, and I can't like read his scripts or see his movies, because they're all like horrible, you know, cut them up, chew them up, spit them out type of things. And certain people, I mean, maybe some of you, I won't ask you to raise your hands, some people like, they really like that rasa, you know, the chainsaw guy. And you know, I just like, you know, for me, if like somebody's in front of me on the plane watching one of those, I get out like the, you know, the folding thing on the safety, I try to like block it so I can't even glimpse at it, because it's too gross. I'm not it. But some people, they enjoy that. So, you know, that's there too. You know, the battlefield of Kurukshetra, you know, you read the descriptions in the Mahabharata, like, you know, arms and heads and flowing rivers of blood. And I mean, some people like, wow, that's really cool, you know. He's different. He's the source of all those rasas. He's the source of all those things. And we are, depending on what our ultimate spiritual taste is, we're meant to be part of that. That's what the Bhagavatams remind us. We're meant to be part of all that, whatever that rasa is, you know, servitude, fraternity, parental rasa. So we're reading about the parental rasa, and then we're going to go into the, you know, the ghastly rasa. Putana shows up and tries to, you know, feed him, breastfeed him, and he sucks the life air out of her, and she expands to how many miles? 8 miles, right? Agasura's 12 miles, I think. She's 8. Anyway, it's huge, you know, huge. Again, that's another one of those, like, transformer kind of things. They dream these things up, but Krishna, it actually happened. She's huge. And then baby Krishna's just there playing on her. She's dead. Turns back into her ugly feature. He's just crawling around, you know. So, it reminded me, Prabhupada says, there's a purport in the Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada says, when we learn these things about Krishna, when we hear about him and his opulences and his beauty and his pastimes, he uses this beautiful expression. He says, we should be captivated by this. Remember reading that? That's really nice. We should be captivated by this. We should just think. It's just like people read these novels, right? Oh, I wish I was there. I wish I had a man like that. I wish I had a woman like that. I wish I owned a castle like that. I wish I could take a vacation like that. They get captivated by it. And unfortunately, the material world is like, sorry. Even if you get it, you're going to lose it. But Prabhupada said, we should be captivated by these things. And actually, that should motivate us in our spiritual life. Wow, it's so wonderful. It's so beautiful. I wish I could be there. I wish I could be there with Arjuna fighting for Krishna. I wish I could be there with the gopis making beautiful garlands and singing songs for Radha and Krishna. I wish I could be there as a tree in Vrindavan, you know, just offering my fruits for the pleasure of Lord Balaram, etc. You know, whatever. And again, not that we go too far, you know, it's not sahaja philosophy, but just in a philosophical way, Prabhupada says we should be captivated by that. And it reminded me of one story when I was in Tirupati last year. Last 3 years, we've had these Vaishnava Christian dialogues in Tirupati. And after we took a tour with Revati Raman Prabhu, who is the president of the temple. And we're walking around Tirupati, and I saw one big, like, bas-relief, big, maybe, I don't know, whatever, at least 20 feet by 10 feet, something like that. And it was a carving, like, you know, bas-relief of Balaji, the deity, with some Brahmin, with some kind of, like, Parcheesi board or something in front of them. You know this story? And I said, you know, I've been to Tirupati 10 times. I never noticed it before. And it's big. It's not in a prominent place, but if you walk around the temple, it's big and it's there. And I asked him, I said, what's that? He said, oh, this is a very special Leela. I said, what's it about? He said, well, there was this Brahmin. I think his name was Ram, I think. Ram Dass something. Anyway, he was from North India, and he wanted to worship Balaji way back. So he came all the way to Tirupati, and because he wasn't in that lineage, they said, well, you can't worship the Lord. You don't know the way we do the puji here. You're not in our line. It's not allowed. Sorry. Thanks for coming, but sorry, we just can't do it. So he was, you know, very unhappy about that, and, you know, feeling some pangs of separation. But he stayed in the area, and he was maybe doing some other service, but he couldn't do anything directly for the deities. I'm not sure how much time passed. I don't think he explained that to us. But one night, this Brahma's at home, and there's a knock on the door late at night. He's wondering, who's coming to my little home at night? And he opens the door, and it's the deity. It's Balaji. He's left the temple and come to his house. So he pays his obeisances and stands up. My Lord, you know, oh my God, this is wonderful. Why have you come here? And he says, I came to see you. And he says, you know, something. Thank you so much for your kindness. And the Lord says, what should we do? And he says, what do you know how to do? And the Brahmin said, bhajan. I know how to do bhajan. The Lord said, no bhajans. Let's play games. He said, I don't know any games. Balaji said, sit down, I'll teach you some. So I don't know. I'm like, do you know what game he taught them? I can't remember. Some form of chess, parcheesi, you know, something like that. So he, you know, they got a, I don't know if he like had the board underneath his garland or something, you know, he manifests the board, and they started to play the game. And then, you know, later on the night passed, and they said, okay, I have to leave now. And he went back to the temple and got on the altar. And this happened like night after night after night for a period of time. I have to check the time. I'm not sure how long. I think an extended period of time. So one night, the Lord came, and they were playing game together, and it got extra late. And they heard the, what's the name of the song? Escaping me. I'll remember it later, but the particular song that they begin singing when they're going to wake the deities. And the Lord was like, oh, I'm late. I got to run. So he ran out the door to get back in the temple before the Brahmins open the door, because he's got to be there when they open the door. So he runs back, gets there just in time. But then the Brahmin realizes, oh, the Lord, he had this beautiful big silver jewelry necklace that he would wear. He left it there by mistake. He thought, oh, Lord, you forgot. So then he picks a big, heavy thing, like very unusual, unique, that only the deity has, maybe diamond encrusted, something very valuable. And he starts walking towards the temple. Meanwhile, the Bajaris, they open the deity curtains, and the Lord's standing there, but his piece of beautiful, expensive jewelry that he wears every night is gone. Chor, thief. It's in the south. Maybe they don't say chor. I don't know how you say thief in Tamil or Telugu or whatever. Anyway, so everybody's up in arms. Someone has broken into the temple and sold this beautiful necklace from the Lord in the middle of the night. So they all start running around. And meanwhile, this Brahmin's walking up holding this beautiful necklace. So, you know, they capture him. Thief. He says, no, I didn't take it. Well, how did you get it? Well, you see, the Lord comes to my house every night and we play games. They said, you liar. You're a thief, you're a liar. He said, no, it's true. And they say, look, you're not with us, you're from the north. We, you know, you're not supposed to have darshan of the deity at all. We let you stay here out of our kindness, and now look what such a rascal you are. You violate our trust and you steal this piece, and we're going to punish you. That, you know, the mohut in charge says, we're going to punish you. And he said, well, you can punish me, but it's the true story. I swear it's true. And he said, no, it can't be true. Here's what I'm going to... Somehow he came up with this test. I'm going to test. Okay, you say the Lord comes to you every night. The Lord's protecting you. So we're going to lock you in this room tonight. And we're going to fill that room with sugar cane. I don't know why he came up with this particular test. But anyway, it's for the drama of it all. We're going to fill this huge space with sugar cane, more sugar cane than, you know, anyone could ever dispose of in a huge amount of time. And if all that sugar cane's gone by the morning, then I believe that actually the Lord comes to you and he's helping you. And otherwise, you're just a thief and you made up a story and we're going to punish you. So the Brahma's like, what do I do? So they lock him in this room at night with all this sugar cane. Not just a lot. And in the middle of the night, the guards start hearing this tremendous noise. And they can kind of see there's some kind of windows or something, if I remember correctly. At least the noise for sure, maybe the windows. And they realize there's a huge elephant got inside this room. And how did a huge elephant get inside this room? And the elephant devoured all of the sugar cane. So the next morning, the Mahant comes with all of his men to punish him, opens the door, and all the sugar cane's been devoured. And he tells the guards, how's this possible? We don't know, but we heard or we looked in the window and there was a big elephant inside there. And they know there's just no way. They got guards. There's no way. It was something very mystical happened here. So at that point, the Mahant said, okay, this is a very, very special Brahmin. And he said, please forgive me for offending you. I resign. I make you in charge of the temple. You're in charge of the... He made him the boss of the whole temple because he realized this is a very special devotee. So if you go there to Tirupati today, they have this big carving there. And he actually became in charge, and he installed a few practices there. Like there's one thing in the morning, they offer the Lord some kind of special preparation made with milk and sugar that they never did before. But because he was from the north, he was in Vrindavan mood, he said, you know, this is Krishna, Balaji is Krishna, he likes this milk and sugar stuff. So that's one of the, so continuing to this day, from that time, they make that offering. So it's just another wonderful example of, you know, Krishna's so playful. And he goes out every day into the fields with the cowherd boys and the cows and the calves, and they just play. And they steal each other's lunches, and they play blind man's bluff. And even when he's in the deity form, he likes to play chess or parcheesi or something. It's the nature of Krishna. So we're learning all of these beautiful things in the Bhagavatam about the nature of the Lord. And as Prabhupada says, we should be captivated by these things. And we should see, as Krishna describes, whatever wondrous, beautiful, magnificent things of this world are there. And there are many. And most people are captivated, even spiritually minded people, many of them remain captivated by the material manifestations. But we should, by hearing of the Krishna's qualities and his pastimes and his devotional relationships and his opulence and his beauty, we should be captivated and gradually more and more see that whatever we see here is just coming from Krishna. So we should think like that. You know, I see some beautiful, wondrous thing. We should see, well, it's very attractive, but it's coming from Krishna. Don't let me be attracted, my dear mind, please. Don't be attracted to this thing and think it's separate from the Lord, because it's not. It's just a small, small, tiny, tiny, tiny reflection of his opulences. So let me be captivated by that. So also, because the Bhagavatam, so many things are packed into a little bit of space. Also, wonderful philosophy described here. So much Leela is revealed, but also in these couple verses, so much wonderful philosophy. So here, Nanda Maharaj and Vasudev, they're in encountering each other after a long, long time. They both suffered much, especially Vasudev. And Devaki, they suffered so much. So they're coming together, and as we should, as devotees, they're encouraging one another. I'm so fortunate to see you. They're encouraging, oh, I'm so fortunate to see you. I'm so happy to see you. And isn't it good fortune, even though I know that you really didn't have, but isn't it good fortune you had a male child? Just see your good fortune. And isn't it good fortune that we get to meet again? We're so, so fortunate. So they're they're appreciating their good fortune. The good opportunities that are coming, they're appreciating. So this is also an example for us. We should appreciate the blessings and the opportunities we have in life. So much so that he describes, I feel as if I've taken birth again. I have a, like they say in English, a new lease on life. That's kind of what he's saying. Just by seeing you, I'm so invigorated. I feel like I have a new lease on life. So we have my little home in Washington, D.C., we have a little plaque. One of the few things left. We had a business for years. We used to sell lots of stuff, but we had this one little plaque that didn't sell. I was very happy it didn't sell. We had three big stores, and I walked out the last day with a box this big I could carry what was left. Krishna gives, and he takes. But he left us this, which is a sign that says, and I think it's attributed to Einstein, although I need to check that out. It's not on the sign. But it says, there's two ways of living your life. One is to see that nothing is a miracle. The other is to see that everything is a miracle. It's a very deep, and this is like that. We're so fortunate to see each other. We're so grateful. At least according to this, it's not that they met and they retold all the stories of their traumas. You know, none of us, you can't imagine what I went through. Here's what happened. The first baby died, the second baby died, the third baby died. Oh my gosh. Oh, we'll come to that later. The negative stuff happened. But they're relishing, they're appreciating, they're focusing, they're enlivening each other with those positive things. So like that vision, to see that everything is a miracle, you know. To change our minds to see like that, that everything is a miracle. The fact that I don't even know, I mean, you know, you scratch your head, move your knee. It's not like we have to think about it. It just kind of happens mystically. Now, scientifically, they'll tell us, well, the neurons are doing this and the nerve cells and et cetera. But if you go deep enough, even they're not sure why it happens. You go deep enough in the scientific studies, it always gets down to this happens because of this. This chemical thing, this physical thing, this biological thing, this atomic thing, and then we're really not sure why it happens. Everything gets down to a certain point, we're really not sure it happens. Whereas devotees, like, well, we know why it happens in the broader sense. It's because of Krishna's achincha inconceivable potencies. So, and we relish that. So, you know, materialistic person, maybe the sun comes up and they think, okay, this is the interaction of forces that have been in play for millions of years because it all goes back to like one inconceivably dense point. That's pretty dry, you know. It all boils down to one point, you know. Whereas for us, it's like the sun comes up every day on time because there's a supreme personality of Godhead who's the most inconceivably beautiful, attractive, powerful, artistic, loving person, and he gives us the sun to give us energy to this life so that we can live out our material desires and, more importantly, reawaken our love for him and go back to the spiritual realm, where every song is a dance and every word is a song and every step is a dance. That's a lot better than a point, isn't it? It's a lot better than a point. So seeing things like a miracle. So here they're exemplifying this for us. They've been through some. Vasudev's really, really, really suffered. I mean, I've been to jail a few times. Once before I was a devotee, and a bunch of times as a devotee. We weren't really inclined to getting permits in the early days. So we spent a few times learning about the need for permits. and it's not fun. You know, anybody's ever been incarcerated, it's not a lot of fun. I just, a couple times overnight, to see the judge, wait till Monday sometimes. It's not a lot of fun. It's nasty. It's really nasty. Vasudev was in prison for years with his wife. You know, it's one thing, okay, you're in prison, at least my family's out there and I'll be reunited. No, he's with his wife. Not only that, their children are coming and they're being murdered one after another after another after another. There's a lot of difficulty. You know, so that's there as an example for us. So at the same time that they're rejoicing and being with each other, being very philosophical, this last verse, beautiful verse, many planks and sticks unable to stay together are carried by the force of a river's waves. Similarly, although we are intimately related with friends and family, we are unable to stay together because of our varied past deeds and the ways of time. So here again, we're hearing Leela, the attractive feature of Krishna. We're learning philosophy, how we should appreciate the beauty, the moments of opportunity that were given to us. And at the same time, reminded, be realistic, we can't control time. We don't control time. You know, Krishna gives and Krishna takes away. The material energy is interacting with us according to our karma, just like sticks on a water. We've all had that experience. You stand by a fast-moving stream and you watch the sticks come down and they kind of circle around together for a while. They get entangled and then split up. So that's the description that's being given. We can't control time. We don't know what our past is exactly. We don't know what karmic seeds are there. We don't know necessarily in the material realm what our future is. But as devotees, just like Vasudeva Nandamaraj, we should also endeavor to not be bitter about that. Sometimes people become bitter or they develop different types of phobias. I mean, there's people that, you know, literally become so afraid of the world they can't leave their house. I mean, they develop such fear, they can't leave their house. And in one sense, it's like, it's scary enough, like, why would you ever want to leave your house, you know? Like, makes sense to me, you know, never leave your house. It's a nasty place out there, you know. You're going to meet people and exploit you and cheat you and beat you up and, you know. Yeah, gunned down. You know, it's a scary, scary, scary place. And every day there's more examples. And so in one sense, yeah. But, of course, ultimately, you know, that's a very sad situation because people aren't seeing the bigger picture. But, you know, there's reason to be bitter. There's reasons to be afraid. There's reasons to be angry, etc. All these things that people develop some sense of. But here we see, like, Nanda Maharaj and Vasudev, and particularly Vasudev is speaking here. This is by the force of time. If we allow ourselves to think or to feel that this is the entirety of existence, we're just destined to be thrown apart like rivers, sticks in a river. But we know from our Vaishnava understanding, bitterness or fear doesn't solve the problem. We have to take, as sometimes it's analyzed, we are responsible people. So we are response-able. We are able to respond to our circumstances. This is the unique feature of human life. The animals, they're caught up. Karma, cycle of birth and death, evolution of species. When we reach the human form of life, atato brahma jignasa, we actually are given this power to be able to make conscious decisions over what we do. So we may, because of our past situation, be put, we are, not maybe, there will be success, there will be failure. There will be happiness, there will be distress. There will be honor, there will be dishonor. You know, some people are going to think we're saints, some people are going to think we're sinners. Sometimes our mind is our friend, sometimes it's our enemy. Sometimes we're wealthy, sometimes we're poor. Sometimes we're young, sometimes we're old. Sometimes you look in the mirror, you think I'm beautiful. Other times you look in the mirror, you think, oh God, how could anybody be designed that looks like me? It's the way it is. And again, materialistic people, they're convincing each other, you just got to change a few things. You just need one more insurance policy and then you'll be peaceful. Just one more. You already have six, right? You got health insurance, you got what? Health insurance, car insurance, life insurance, renter's insurance, home, right? Get home insurance. You got a disability insurance. You've got, you know, everything. But still, you kind of need some of those things, but there's no real protection. So as Vaishnavas, we're advised, don't, like, you know, in the Judaic Christian tradition, it's his fault, right? You go way, 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 way back. It's Adam's fault. And then some people, you know, become misogynist because they say, no, actually it's Eve's fault, right? It wasn't Adam's fault. It was because she's the one that, you know, got it. He was just a good, clean-hearted guy and, you know, like that. But, or you know, the devil made me do it. It was the devil, you know. And I'm not sure in Islam, I don't know that much about Islam, what their concept is. You know, in Buddhism, it's Maya, etc. We have to understand it's Maya, but why is it Maya? It's Maya because it's my Maya. I'm the one that wanted that. There's like that This Is Life, that movie that ITV released years ago. Anybody seen that? It's like one old classic devotional films. Anyway, this man, he's Krishna appears to him and he keeps getting all these benedictions. He gets more and more rich and more and more rich, and his life's getting more and more miserable. Have you seen that? Remember that film? This Is Life. Hindi translator, whatever. And then at the end, Krishna appears to him and he's like, life's falling apart. His kids, you know, got in all kinds of miserable situations and the family's broken apart. And he's very sick because of all the stress. You've seen it? You remember? So there's one scene where Krishna's with him. Krishna's very, very playful Krishna. He just pops into his life now and then. And so he's in bed and he's all angry, bitter, controlling, kind of like a 50s dad, those of you that know that term. He's like really upset and angry at the world, and you know, he's in bed, he can't get out of bed, and Krishna comes to see him again. So he's talking to him about what's going on in your life, and didn't you get everything you wanted, and why are you so unhappy? And Krishna's playful, Krishna does, he picks up these little bottles. He goes, what is this? He goes, it's my medicine. He goes, medicine? He goes, yeah, it's my medicine. He goes, what is this? He goes, and then all these medical names, I'll just make up a few, but you'll get the point. He goes, what is this? He goes, tetramycin. What is this? This is myomycin. What is this? Oh, this is clotrimycin. You know, a lot of medicines, they have this thing that end with mycin, isn't it? So Chris, oh, mycin. Chris, I see. Okay, mycin. He's like, Krishna, you know, what are you telling me? So in the end, he comes around and he realizes his mistakes. But in the same way as Vaishnavas, you know, we have this understanding. We take some responsibility that, okay, I'm in some difficult situation. But, you know, it's karma. Karma's there. Doesn't mean we aren't sympathetic towards others. I just read the other day, again, Prabhupada, one devotee said to Prabhupada one time, Prabhupada, sometimes I feel very bad about all the suffering in the world. And Prabhupada said, sometimes? Sometimes? What do you mean, sometimes? How can you not feel all the time? So that compassion has to be there for others. The perversion of a Vedic philosophy, the perversion that led to the caste system and so many perversions in the past, that, okay, it's karma, therefore you're in a suffering situation, that's your problem, I'm in a better situation, let me exploit it. So it was the real understanding is by our collective karma, we're all in this nasty place of birth, death, old age, and disease. And I may be in a little, maybe I have a little better education, a little better money, a little better social status. Let me use that situation to help others, to serve others, ultimately help them be Krishna conscious. So, sense of responsibility for me, sense of compassion for others. So seeing the realism of the world, that it, you know, the beauty is there, we're so fortunate to come together. He's saying that we're so fortunate to come together, but then we're going to be tossed apart. So it's kind of like relish the blessings and then be philosophical about the challenges and see that ultimately everything in this world, in the ultimate sense, and sometimes we cannot understand it with our limited minds, but in the ultimate sense, this place is a world that's ultimately meant to reform us, help us come back to Krishna. So therefore, as Vaishnavas, you know, our philosophy is not just, as say some impersonalist schools may tend towards, okay, just tolerate it and go on, or materialists will sometimes say just tolerate and go on. But we know, we have the faith and gradually experience that no, in the midst of the sukha and the dukkha and the old age and the death and the disease and all the terrible things around us, as Prabhupada said, Vaishnavas are the greatest optimists, because we know that behind the whole thing there's Krishna. And whatever difficulty is there, it's all temporary. And so therefore we think, let me be appreciative of the opportunities and let me learn, what am I supposed to learn through the difficulties? You know, it's a good way to kind of ask ourselves sometimes. We find ourselves in the middle of some challenges, or even sometimes a really boring situation, and say, okay, what am I supposed to learn here? What can I learn here? What am I supposed to get out of this? Every moment, right? Prabhupada would sometimes quote Chanakya Pandit. So he said that you can't get back a moment. I think Bhagavatam says too, you can't back a moment of time for all the gold in the world. So in this particular moment, what am I supposed to learn? So Nanda Maharaj and Vasudeva is kind of like that. What can we take from this? And now you better go back to Vrindavan, because there's some difficult times coming, and I'm going to go take care of my duties. But ultimately, we know we have faith. Krishna's there. Vishnu's there behind the scenes. So as Vaishnavas, in the same way, we have faith that Krishna's always with me. He's protecting me. He's going to help me get through this. And he's giving so many blessings in so many ways. And even there may be the sticks and come together and separated and the different challenges are there, ultimately it's all for my good. So just to summarize, one, Krishna Leela is exciting. It's wonderful. Let's go there. I'd probably sometimes say why we are rotting in this material world. Rotting, that's a heavy word. Why are we rotting? So Krishna Lila is wonderful. It's exciting, as we can see. It's so dramatic. They have a lot of fun. Go play Parcheesi or chess with the Lord in the spiritual realm. Let's do that. Second thing, in the meantime, while we're here, we should be a little philosophical about life. We have to see things through the Shastra Chakshus. We have to see things through the eyes of Shastra in a philosophical way. Become detached. Because all of us at different phases of life, there's always different challenges. And we should learn to become detached from the sukha and the dukkha, but become more attached to Krishna. And always keep our eyes on the goal. That's the best way to be detached. If we're attached to something better, then whatever the traumas are here, they're not so difficult. But if we forget our purpose, if we forget the goal, then we're just lost to whatever ups and downs are there today. And we'll be we'll be vulnerable to be blown away, like it says in the Gita, just by the boat without a rudder in the ocean, without a rudder, without a purpose, without a goal, just blown around by the wind and the waves. So Krishna Lila is exciting. Let's, by His grace, try to go there. In the meantime, be a little philosophical, and tolerating the happiness and the distress. And third, appreciate the gifts that we're given. Learn from the struggles and know that Krishna's always there. So those are three main points. Krishna's Leela is wonderful. Let's try to become part of that, His eternal pastimes. Meantime, practice bhakti yoga, be philosophical, be a little detached, and appreciate the gifts that we're given and the challenges that come, knowing there's something I can learn from this. And remember, Krishna's always helping us. So I'll stop there. Any questions, comments? Yes, Prabhu. He's in front. I saw him first. It's like Krishna said, right? I saw him first. You want the army or you want me? Right? So, your question, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Nityananda Prabhu. Thank you for your class. You made many wonderful points, and thank you for blessing us with your presence here in Chicago. In your class, you mentioned one of the most profound points I've ever heard, and I actually heard it in a lecture. That this lecture is by His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, and it's called Who is a Vaishnava? It's part two. And in that lecture, Radhanath Maharaj mentioned that he got this point from you.
My eternal blessing.
So that's what I like. He always gives credit to I've shared it in class many times. It was about responsibility. So he was mentioning this, essentially the same thing, said it's slightly different, that responsibility is two words. One's ability to respond, or so as soon as I heard that quote by Radhanath Maharaj that he got from you, I looked it up, and there's a similar quote on the internet that says responsibility, or the ability to choose your response, is about making a conscious action, not an unconscious reaction.
Mm-hmm. And a conscious action,
not an unconscious reaction. So I really appreciate it. And my favorite pastime in the Krishna book related to this is chapter 89 of Krishna book, where Prabhupada mentions one's greatness has to be estimated by one's ability to tolerate provoking situations. And the reason I like that chapter
is... Tolerate what kind of situations?
Provoking situations.
Provoking situations.
Yeah. And the reason I like that chapter is because it deals with Brahma, the creator, Shiva, the destroyer, and Vishnu, the maintainer. And in that pastime, it's described that creating our relationships are easy. Destroying our relationships are even easier. Maintaining our relationships, and Vishnu's the maintainer. So in this past, in your class, you were mentioning...
Hold on just a second. You're speaking quickly.
Oh, sorry.
Maintaining, destroying, creating is often talked about in general, but you're saying specifically it was
specifically
to about relationships, though?
Yes.
Who was making that point? That was Radhanath Maharaj, or that was Krishna?
No, this book? Is in chapter 89 of the Krishna book.
It specifically mentions about relationships.
Yes. Bhrigu Muni kits Lord Vishnu. That pastime.
So the relationships are easy to make, easy to break, but maintaining them are hard.
Yeah, and Prabhupada says
chapter 89.
Chapter 89.
Well, great. Thank you for that.
And in his pastime, Prabhupada says we should follow the example of Vishnu because he's the maintainer, how to maintain our relationships.
That's really good reference, because relationships are tough. We all, everybody, you hear that and you quote it all the time, that yes, it's easy to create. Right? That's Brahma's job.
Yeah.
It's pretty easy to destroy that Shiva's job, but maintaining only Vishnu can do that. But I don't remember ever hearing that in terms of relationships, which we all know that's a big deal. You know, devotee care, maintaining relationship. Thank you. That's really important to know.
Yeah, chapter 89, Christian book.
89.
So in this
reference to Briga, when he kicked, he went around to test who's the Lord.
Yeah.
Okay.
And in this pastime, you were mentioning one point that destroys our relationships of the Balaji Brahmana. The priests, they could have responded to the circumstances two ways. They could have gave they doubted the benefit of the Brahmin, or they could have gave them the benefit of the doubt. They jumped to the conclusion, you stole the necklace. So in our spiritual life, sometimes among devotees, sometimes we...
Talk a little slower because the mic...
Oh, sorry, I'm super fast.
You're making good points and the mic's not so good.
Sometimes in our life, we can't control the tongue because we jump to conclusions and make apparats. In the Bible, this is the book of James, one of my favorite passages, and maybe you could explain after this. It says in the book of James chapter 3, it says, all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. Mm. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. And one reason we curse human beings is that we jump to conclusion of judging devotees, even though this is like the best association. We mentioned there's murderers out in the material world, there's so many demoniac stuff, and we still aren't grateful for the associated devotees. So what are some steps we could do to it may not always be possible to maintain our relationships because it's a two-way street, but how do we maintain our peace of mind at least and give up this tendency to commit apparats by jumping to conclusions? So maybe you could elaborate on that a little bit.
How do we maintain our peace of mind and avoid apparat by jumping to conclusions? Yeah? First of all, by talking about it, you just brought it to our attention, so that's a good thing. Second of all, by understanding the importance of devotee relationships, and knowing that if I commit apparats, we talked about that a little bit yesterday, that's the first offense against the holy name, destroys our ability to chant and approach Krishna. Third of all, by suffering the reactions whenever we do it, and realizing that, oh my gosh, this was really dumb and painful, and look how much I suffer because of that. Fourth thing, doing some very practical things like, you know, even like counselors, you know, they advise people, if you're about to say something nasty, to walk out of the room. Don't do it. Don't say something nasty. And they specifically say, like with email or Facebook, or none of our leaders these days necessarily follow this principle, but don't just immediately blurt out whatever you're angry and your feelings. If you're ever going to send an emotional phone call or a Facebook pasting or however you communicate, don't wait. It's really hard to tell people this these days because it's so instant. But wait 24 hours. Maybe with Facebook, it's to tell people at least wait 6 hours, which is like an eternity if you're that age group. But to wait and think about it before you put it up there. So those are some practical things. You know, to talk about it, be aware if it's a problem. Think about the repercussions. When we do suffer those repercussions, you know, let it go deep about, oh gosh, I need to learn from the next time. And then put some practical things in place so we feel those urges coming, just walk out of the room, you know, or start chanting, do something positive instead, cut ourselves, don't let ourselves make those mistakes. And then in written form or visual form, you know, just wait, give yourself some time. And you'll find too, practically, you get some nasty posting or something you don't like, and you go to respond to it, you can save it someplace. I don't know, I don't use Facebook. I'm sure there's some way you can, don't publicize it yet or something. And if you come back and look at it a few hours later and you realize, oh, I don't want to say that. You know, this is the most nastiest thing, blah, blah, blah. You come back later and it's going to say like, I don't think we agree completely on this point. Can we talk about it more? As opposed to only hogs, dogs, camels, and asses make, you know, that's the kind of thing you're going to say. Becomes, can we discuss this more? So those are very practical things we can do. Okay? Yeah. Other comments or questions? Yes, Prabhu.
Anudama Prabhu, In the narration, in the meeting of Nanda Maharaj and Vasudev, we see their mood and sort of the appreciation of the moment. You mentioned in your class the appreciating the miracles of the moment and the gratitude that one has to actually being able to have that association in those moments, and the positiveness of the outlook that, you know, Vaishnavas and great devotees have. And it's a great example, especially taking into consideration that Vasudev had to go to such a traumatic, harsh, difficult, you know, time. And Nanda Maharaj is his brother. Obviously, he's aware of it, of all the things that Vasudeva have to go through. You know, his wife, Rohini, was under the care just because of all the circumstances. But when they meet, there's no thing of the past, oh my God, this thing happened, you know, like lamenting about or caught in that past
situation. At
least
it's not expressed.
And this is not expressed there. But how, when we get together with devotees, when we have to go through things, sometimes we get caught, you know, in the past, especially when struggles are there, and we get caught in that. And sometimes when we meet devotees, we, you know, tend to bring things to the past, you know. How would it be much better, or what would you say in terms of turning things towards the positive, the present, the miracles, all that type of thing, if having that focus rather than to have to go back to, you know, things that we have to experience in the past that are not positive?
So it's like a how question. How do we do that?
Would you say is a better approach, you know, moving from the past?
Well, the better approach is to try, you know, to train our minds. Yoga is Prabhupada writes Upadeshamrita or maybe Ishopanishad. Prabhupada specifically says, and so many other places, the purpose of yoga is to control the mind. And one of the things the mind does, it goes to negativity. Materialistic mind, it's fault-finding, it's critical, it's harsh, it's bitter, all those things. So part of the yoga practice is gradually training our minds, you know, from thinking about sense gratification to think about service to Krishna, from thinking about all the flaws in devotees to seeing the positive things in devotees, from lamenting about my circumstance to appreciating the opportunities I have. You know, that's the struggle. In a sense, that's the process. Just like if you want to learn athletics, you know, the coach tells you, okay, you have to, you know, hold your arm in this position, not that position. You've got to stand strong, taller or shorter, or move faster or slower, or whatever. You have to work at changing those practices. So in devotional service, we're chanting and praying and begging Krishna to purify us, and at the same time, we have to make the endeavor. Right, we have to make those endeavors. Otherwise, you know, there are different qualities are explained in the Gita, and sometimes, you know, Prabhupada writes about you can't achieve these things by any external effort or an extraneous effort. They're achieved through the process of bhakti, but we have to apply it. It's just like, you know, we don't wake up in the morning and say, "Oh, I'd like to see the deities dressed nicely today." Wouldn't that be nice if they were dressed nicely today? I hope somebody dresses them nicely today. The Shastra says they should be dressed nicely today. You have to get up, take a shower, go on the altar, get all the things, you know, poke yourself a few times, and at least whenever I was dressing the deities, it's not my strong point, you know, beg the Lord to please let this garland stay the way it should, and please let me get it done with the 4 minutes I've got. You know, it's a very intense meditation and an effort. So in a similar way, these other aspects of our Krishna consciousness, you know, we're supposed to try to bring our mind back to the chanting, right? We're supposed to try to sell books. We're supposed to try to read. So we have to endeavor. We have to work at it. So in the same way, with these different obstacles that come, you know, lack of appreciation of our circumstances and fault finding with others, we have to try. And so, you know, it's praying, Krishna, please let me learn to appreciate the Vaishnavas, and let me learn to appreciate all the opportunities that I have. And then we pray like that, and then, you know, 10 minutes later, somebody comes up and, you know, spills their hot milk all over us. And, you know, it's like, thank you, Krishna. Hare Krishna, Prabhu, I hope you didn't hurt your hand. My legs burned pretty badly, but I hope you didn't burn your hand. You know, you try. And, you know, and Prabhu says elsewhere, he says, you know, in the Bhagavad Gita, one should apply the practices of bhakti yoga as if in military discipline. He doesn't say that a lot, but he says it at least that one time. Maybe there's other places. So it's like, you got to, you know, we have to kind of be strong like that. Of course, that we don't take that too far either. We don't want to be extreme on that. So that endeavor has to be there. And just as he was mentioning, I have to clarify the parampara on that particular thing. If Radha Swami got it from me, I got it from Bhakta Stephen Covey. I'm not sure where he got it from. I can't take claim for that. Who, by the way, had a copy of Bhagavad Gita, because Stephen Covey is like a famous, he passed away a couple years ago. Mormon, actually, a big time management guru, very pious guy, who I gave a Bhagavad Gita to. Any of you happen to know Stephen Covey, one of my... When the Yamadutas come to see me, I'm going to say, wait, I gave a Bhagavad Gita to Stephen Covey. I got to get some kind of credit here. At least a couple less days in the lower planets, at least. Let's recalculate whatever you got figured out here. So, you know, we have to endeavor. We have to hear about it, try. And it's not easy. You know, and sometimes, I mean, we're human. Sometimes it's like, okay, I'm just going to let that sit for a while. You know, I'm not ready to really, really think about if I should be the one to apologize. I need to sit on that for a while. At least let me stop adding to the problem. But let me just sit on it for a little while. Let me avoid that circumstances that causes those problems. You know, maybe with all I can do is just try to say Hari Bo in a genuine way to a person who I have some difficulties with, because I'm not ready to really... you know, embrace them and ask them to forgive me. I mean, maybe, hopefully that'll come someday. But sometimes we can't force that either, and that's part of it. You know, as other people, maybe we can rectify the problems right on the spot. But there may be some people it might take a while, and that's okay. It's okay in the sense that it's just the reality of life. But if our desire is to amend those relationships and those situations, I mean, we have the example, and not to, you know... Srila Prabhupada, in his last few days, I was just reading something about it recently, in his last few days, and he's inviting all of his godbrothers to come see him. He's on his, you know, departure bed, and he's asking them, please forgive me for any offenses I've committed, because in preaching, sometimes we speak harshly. And they all said, you know, Swamiji, Prabhupada, you know, there's no offense at all. How can there be offense? You're the great Acharya. We've offended like that. So even Prabhupada was showing an example for us that we should be ready to understand that there's going to be, you know, there's the sticks, they come together. They not only come together and come apart, sometimes they hit each other, you know, they ram each other, they conflict with each other. But we should try to minimize and be forgiving and be apologetic and take responsibility for our actions and push. I know I just got some material from Mahatma Prabhu the other day. He does a whole two-day workshop on forgiveness. And I was just reading through it. I say, I'd like to take that someday. I've got a few people in my life I'm still, you know, needing to become a better Vaishnava to be able to forgive them for mistakes that were made. And I need to learn those skills. So do the best we can. Keep trying. Think about it. Meditate on it. Appreciate the qualities of others. Ask for forgiveness whenever we can, and keep living in association of devotees where we have the courage to talk about these things. I'm always amazed to think about, you know, we get up in the morning and you sing for an hour and a half, and then you sit down and you pray to God to be engaged in the service for a couple hours, and then you sit down with some wonderful people day after day, year after year, and talk about how to better be better human beings. for an hour and a half every morning, how to perfect our lives. Like, wow, this is amazing. You know, most people, they just get up, they go to Starbucks, right? They hang out at Starbucks. What's happened in the world? Who killed who today? It's like, so fortunate, you know? I mean, not that we're the only ones. There's other wonderful spiritual communities that are doing similar things, but, you know, the Bhagavatam, and so rich, so fortunate. Any other questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Just a quick follow-up question to Subhal Prabhu's, which is, I guess in my experience, a lot of advanced devotees or mentors, at least in my life, there's this constant dilemma between, like, you know, the material world is a place of suffering, there's danger at every step, it's not fit for a gentleman, the world's coming to an end.
Sort well, it's this, not coming to an end for quite a while. But.
Right, but, you know, just the sense of almost, you know, despair and outlook. And, you know, you were talking about how, you know, when Vaishnavas come together, there's this focus on positivity, on this, you know, I think of it from the standpoint of, you know, Krishna's all love, he's protective, he's, you know, shelter, and that's where we need to focus, rather than we can, you know, talk about how this world is so scary and there's so many things to be scared about, as you were saying. So I'm just wondering, sort of, it's not really a how-to, or maybe it is a how-to question, but how do you reconcile being able to refocus outlooks from, you know, being philosophical and being understanding that this world indeed is a terrible place. It's not, you know, we're not meant to be here. And, you know, there's so many bad things going on and, you know, issues. And instead being able to look at it more philosophically in a positive, loving light, and concentrate our focuses there. I don't know if I'm making sense.
No, you're making a lot of sense. So you say, how do you reconcile those two things? We mentioned yesterday, it's described like the Uttama Adhikari, devotee, highest realization of Krishna. It's analyzed in different ways, in different places, what exactly that means. But one of the qualities described is that they see everything's connected to Krishna, everyone's connected to Krishna, everything in the world is going great, because it's all bringing us back to him, and they see Krishna in everything. And Prabhupada specifically says that an Uttamadhikari comes down or acts on the level of a Madhyama Adhikari, because a Madhyama or middle range devotee sees the Lord, sees devotees, worships the Lord, serves and associates with the devotees, has mercy on the innocent or the ignorant, and avoids those who are like out and out inimical. You know, like really nasty, nasty people, which is, most people are not out and out inimical. They're just distracted by the world. So in one sense, you could say the highest realization is there's no negativity. It's just Krishna, and it's beautiful. But in the other sense, for the level we're aspiring to and great devotees act upon for the purpose of being merciful, they see both. And that's pretty much what's described throughout the Shastra, and that's what we're advised to do. Like Isha Upanishad mentioned yesterday, we should cultivate knowledge of nescience and transcendence side by side. So knowledge of Krishna's all attractive features, the spiritual realm, cultivate the desire to be with Krishna, be captivated by that information. At the same time, understand the material world in all of its diversity, you know, in its beauty and its artisticness and its amazing variegatedness, and also with its nastiness. You know, there's a lot of nastiness. So the nastiness should be impetus for us to go to Krishna. And it is, that's why there's nastiness. It's our reactions for the things we've done, and it's simultaneously impetus for us to go to Krishna. So it's not, I mean, reconciling, Reconciling kind of means like resolving the tension so it goes away. And I don't know so much if we resolve the tension that we goes away, but we understand the tension's always going to be there. And through that tension, what's the purpose? You know, it's like an image comes to my mind, like, you know, I think it's in the scripture, actually, like a watermelon seed. You know, you squeeze on it both sides. Remember as a kid, and it squirts. You try to hit your friend with a watermelon seed. You squeeze on it, it squirts out. So, you know, there's the pressure of the material world, and there's the gradual attraction towards Krishna. The two of those should push us towards Krishna. Now, you kind of were mentioning to a certain extent, I think you were giving an example, kind of like with devotees, sometimes we only talk about the negative stuff. It's a dirty, rotten, dark, nasty world. And you should all join us so that you feel you're in a dirty, nasty, dark, miserable place. You know, meanwhile, they're thinking life's pretty good and you guys have got problems. You know, you are like really unhappy, miserable people. And, you know, I'm glad you have a mantra to help you be peaceful because, you know, but I'm glad I'm not like you guys. So, you know, we have to be balanced in our own understanding and definitely in our presentation. And, you know, an example comes to mind. There's a wonderful video actually directed by Krishna Leela and produced by the communications department. You can see it online. It was on Vimeo. We just put it on YouTube just a couple of days ago because we realized, oh, it's not on YouTube. People can't see it. But it's about the 50th anniversary conference held at Harvard University Center for the Study of World Religions about ISKCON, the Worldwide Krishna Movement. And I mention it because in there, there's an interview, there's a recording of one of the people that shared a keynote address the night before. There was Frank Clooney, Professor Frank Clooney, who was the head of this center, who spoke. Graham Schwag, Garuda Das spoke. Dr. Tom Hopkins spoke. And this Professor Shana Kirmani, who's a Muslim scholar, who spoke. And he was there when Prabhupada spoke at Harvard University. I think it was in 68. He was there. And he describes how he was walking down the hall, and he was actually on the way to a meeting with one of his professors, and he saw this man in saffron robe sitting cross-legged and speaking. And he was completely shocked. He says in this video, he says that things like that don't happen at Harvard, at least in that period, that there's some Swami sitting speaking. So he, like, to use the modern phrase, he blew off his appointment with his professor and just didn't go and stayed to hear Prabhupada speak. And one of the things he specifically mentions in that video is he said, I was amazed because he was speaking deep philosophy about the material life and, you know, the problems of the world, etc. And then he says, but I was amazed at the same time he was talking about peacefulness and joy and God. He's talking all these heavy topics. At the same time he was talking, he said he was really amazed. He's talking about peace and joy and happiness. His voice actually cracks. He says happiness, like it was such an amazing thing. So he was so impressed by Prabhupada and really the Vaishnava teachings and how Prabhupada so perfectly, you know, brought it to us, embodied it and shared it with us, that both sides, okay, that's really, really bad and it's really beautiful. And, you know, just like people that are parents, you have to tell your kids, hey, there's a lot of good stuff in the world. Go for it. Get a good education. Work hard. You know, be happy in life. And don't be stupid. You know, don't just go on Facebook because, like, some really cute guy who's 22 years old says he wants to meet you at Starbucks. No, he's a licentious 60-year-old, like, you know, horrendous demoniac person. Be careful. And if you don't tell your kids that, you know, horrible stuff happens, isn't it? You know, you got to tell your three-year-old, yeah, you can play ball, but, you know, you can't run out in the middle of the street. Isn't it? And if you don't tell them don't run out in the middle of the street, wow, that's terrible. Isn't it? You know, you read terrible stuff sometimes. Some father goes shopping, leaves his kid in the car, and, you know, the kid suffocates in the 100-degree weather. It's like, oh, my gosh. You know, be careful. But at the same time, the vast majority of followers, they have wonderful, loving relationships with their sons and daughters, and it's a great thing. But, you know, be careful. You know, the world's in, okay? So both. And so I think in terms of our preaching, and time, place, and circumstance. You know, some people just really need to hear the all attractiveness of Krishna, and other people really need to hear about it's a miserable world, and all of us pretty much need both. Okay? Yeah. So we'll stop there. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nanda Maharaj and Vasudev ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. This temple has nice questions. Very good questions here. Everywhere I've been in Illinois, they have good questions. Washington, D.C., I never get questions. It's like, yeah, let's move on, you know? Hi, Bob, that was a really good comment. I very much appreciate this 89th chapter. Oh, yeah. I'm definitely going to look that up because I do work on communications and, you know, I'm not a relationship therapist or anything like that, but like Grass Division team works on all these things, and we're actually organizing a men's conference in New Vrindavan coming up in October. So that idea of relationships is really important, but I've never heard it. I mean, I must have read a Krishna book, I think.